Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horowitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And this has been a big year for a lot of trends that we've been talking about. And one is SharePoint 2013, and the SharePoint Online version in particular. SharePoint's worldwide user base, which was already quite large to begin with, grew quite a bit, and Microsoft filled in a lot of missing functionality. But the product still has a way to go, and 2015 is coming up fast. So what is next for SharePoint? And to talk about that, I have with me today Scott Robinson, who's a SharePoint and BI expert. So welcome, Scott.
Merry Christmas, Lauren.
Merry, merry. It's great to have you with us again. It's been a while.
Good to be here.
All right, so now let's get down to it. I have a few questions for you about SharePoint. And my first one is that, you know, a lot of organizations this year have been coming on board with SharePoint, largely because of SharePoint Online. But there's a trade-off, isn't there?
There sure is.
So tell me a little bit about what's going on there.
Well, the trade-off is that SharePoint Online is extremely economical. Subscriptions don't cost very much. There's an awful lot of utility right at your fingertips. But there's also a lot of missing functionality, or at least there was this time last year. I think you'll recall we had some discussions about this, and we predicted that there would be some complications with search functionality,
yes,
that customization would be an issue. And sure enough, those things did turn out to be issues,
mm-hmm,
big problems. But the story of 2014 in SharePoint Online is that Microsoft started sneaking things in a little at a time all year long. Now, the big problem with search was that the content search web part was not available in the SharePoint Online platform. That was a huge, huge problem because an awful lot of other functionality derives from content search. Cross-site publishing, for instance, which is one of the best reasons to have SharePoint, wouldn't work without content search. Neither would e-discovery. But just at the tail end of the year, a year ago, they managed to get content search deployed, and with that came cross-site publishing, and now they're deploying e-discovery. So 2014 has been a big year in terms of improving SharePoint Online functionality.
Okay, so now I want to talk about kind of the combination of online and on-premises. So online's been catching up to on-premises a bit at a time, it seems. Do you think that trend is going to continue?
I think so. You and I have had several conversations about how a hybrid model of on-prem and SharePoint Online makes a lot of sense in a lot of business applications. We've talked about how having the core utility in an on-prem deployment is often useful when what you need to do with your SharePoint Online is to share information out just for your field workforce or just for customers. And that model has worked very well because the missing functionality in SharePoint Online isn't so crucial if you're using that model. But with the added functionality that came along in 2014, SharePoint Online is looking more and more like a powerful standalone product.
Mm-hmm. So now
an issue that we have, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was about to say one issue that we have that Microsoft created for itself is that expectation for SharePoint is very, very high because the on-prem 2013 version is so rich in functionality. So when a customer comes to Microsoft and says, we want to use your SharePoint product, but we prefer the online version, their expectation is really high. The bar is really high because on-prem is so thorough and so feature-rich. So Microsoft kind of shot themselves in the foot by not solving their SharePoint Online problems ahead of time. However, at this point, the two versions are closer than they've ever been.
So I have kind of a follow-up question to that because there's, you know, the Microsoft roadmap has often been, you know, over the past couple of years has been to create these on-premises versions and then create these cloud-based versions where you could kind of expand and enhance your functionality in the cloud if you also had on-prem. Where do you see that headed in the future, given that they can kind of step on each other's toes a bit?
Well, I think that the reason that Microsoft rushed ahead and kind of went a little too far ahead was because in the cloud market, Azure is competing very strongly with the Amazon cloud and the Google cloud and the iCloud. And so I think that they really did a good thing by creating the hybrid model where you can use SharePoint Online along with the SharePoint on-prem. Mm. The thing is that it's very expensive to do that. It's self-defeating to want to save money by going into the cloud if you have to have an on-prem version anyway. Right. So the hybrid model really only works for people who already had an on-prem deployment. I think that that's not going to be a problem moving forward because I think that the SharePoint Online product that we're seeing coming up in the next year is going to be very standalone, or at least a lot more standalone than the current version.
Mm. Okay, so that kind of leads to the next question, which is what could Microsoft do next year with SharePoint? And are there any safe predictions we can make?
Well, there's one big prediction that I think we can be confident of. You and I have talked about how it's a bad idea to customize SharePoint in the cloud, and that the reason it's a bad idea is because the nature of tenant-based SharePoint forms is that you have to share with a lot of other customers. Mm. Now, the big analogy that I'm very fond of is that SharePoint on-prem is a nice big chunk of land with a creek running through it where you can build yourself a nice big house and build yourself a lot of outbuildings and just design things as you please, whereas SharePoint Online is like moving into a block of condos. You have very little say about which condo you get or what the layout of that condo is. All you can do is decorate it inside. Now, that's just the nature of the beast. There's not a whole lot you can do about that, but customization moving forward is going to be simpler than it's been in the past. And the reason is that what we call the sandbox model of development, which means you can write whatever code you want, and we'll put it in this little container to execute it. And if it's inefficient and doesn't work well, that's your problem, not ours. You know, it will run very badly, and that's just something you'll live with. That's a problem that is going to go away, or at least be largely alleviated by the new model, which is called the app model. The app model basically says that anything you deploy in a SharePoint site is a web part that conforms to Microsoft's general code execution rules. So the custom code that we build in the future is by its very nature going to be cleaner and more efficient than custom code has been up to this point. The end result is that in 2015, it's going to be possible to write far more stylized, far more customized applications in SharePoint than it's ever been before, and that is a home run for Microsoft.
Gotcha. So now last year we talked a little bit about a wish list for SharePoint. What are some of the gaps that you see feature-wise that might be developed in 2015?
Well, there's one that's right on the top of the list, and it's a big one. I mean, one reason that we like SharePoint sites and SharePoint applications is because we like Microsoft Forms technology. Microsoft Forms technology has been very well developed over the past 10 years. We have a product called InfoPath, and InfoPath is a very sophisticated interface that allows us to build web forms that are very, very customizable and highly functional behind the scenes. Now, up until now, InfoPath has been built into SharePoint in both the on-prem and online deployments, and it's been an integrated product for the past two releases. We like that because it's very, very useful and very easy to work with. However, InfoPath is going away. Microsoft is deprecating it, and it's not clear what the successor technology is going to be. Now, on the surface, the successor technology is the Access app, which is to say applications that are easily configured and based on the Microsoft Access product. Now, that's a very powerful forms technology because you can build complex, feature-rich forms in Access. The problem we face is that you can't put those apps into SharePoint workflow, and we need for SharePoint forms technology to be very workflow-friendly. Now, that's a big, big gap, and I don't know how they're going to fill it, but I do know that it needs to be filled. So if there was something on the top of my wish list, a new SharePoint forms technology would be it.
Okay. And any other features that you anticipate or would hope for seeing tweaks from?
Well, we just mentioned workflow, and I have to say that if there's anything that clients want out there when they're putting together their SharePoint Online deployments. It's complex, easy to work with workflow. Now, the problem you get into with SharePoint is that the out-of-the-box workflow is very limited, and the workflow you can implement with SharePoint Designer requires a high level of expertise. For the present, the gap is being filled by third-party workflow providers like Nintex, who offer wonderful products that are both easy to use and capable of complexity. Now, if there's one thing I would love to see from Microsoft, it's that they not hand that responsibility off to third-party providers, because that's just extra money that you have to pay to get what you want. Microsoft needs an improved workflow product, and that would be another item high on my wish list.
Gotcha. Well, Scott, as always, thank you very much for shedding light on some of the inner workings of SharePoint.
Happy to do it.
And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz, and you can also check out searchcontentmanagement.com for more on SharePoint 2013. And we'll see you in the new year.